May the Lord help us to commence our service today by singing hymn 1109. Come, weary souls with sin distressed, come and accept the promised rest, the gospel's gracious call obey, and cast your gloomy fears away. Hymn 1109. Let us read together from Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a cover from the tempest. As rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women, for the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip you and make you bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the teats, for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. Because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens for ever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance for ever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. When it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. May the Lord bless his word.
O Lord, do help us and teach us to pray. Lord, may thy Spirit come and draw forth those breathings from our hearts which thou hast put there, that we may come before thee with confession of our utter unworthiness of the least of thy mercies, that we come confessing that we are great sinners and we cannot keep from sinning, and we need the healing virtue of thy name, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Lord, do enable us to come considering how great thou art. What worthless worms are we. In the words of the Saviour, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So we would bow before thee as worms of the earth, confessing, Lord, that we came forth from the womb speaking lies. We need thy healing grace. Oh, that thou wouldest touch our hearts and cause our souls to live before thee, and that we may be led in the way everlasting and not left to go in the broad way which leads to eternal destruction. O Lord, we need a mighty work. We need the drawings of thy Spirit, and that thou wilt say unto us, Come, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. that we may find the peace of God which passeth understanding. Peace made through the cross, through the merits, through the righteousness, the blood, the sacrifice of the dear Lord Jesus Christ, who came down to earth to save sinners, as Paul says, of whom I am chief. And surely others of us also have to confess the same, of whom I am chief. So now, Lord, we fall before thee, seeking thy forgiveness, thy mercy, and that thou wilt send thy quickening spirit to make our souls alive unto God, and that our desire might be that we might be taught the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt join with us here in our service. Oh, that thy Spirit might seal thy word in many hearts, that it might be with power, with unction from above, that it might be an earnest that thou hast loved those souls with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness thou hast drawn them. Do not leave us, Lord, to rest on an outward form of worship. We need the substance. We long to taste that thou art gracious, to feed upon divine certainties. And Jesus Christ revealed to our souls as the bread of life, the heavenly manna. Oh, do remember us then. Lord, we meet without thy servant. We pray for Mr. Field, Mr. Robert Field, in his affliction at this time, that thou wilt put thy healing hand upon him, and truly he laboureth under other afflictions too. O Lord, make him a pleasure to strengthen him and to raise him up again, to preach the everlasting gospel. Be with him as he hopes to go into the hospital for a major operation. If it be thy holy will, to restore him to pain with renewed strength. And above all, that he may preach with life-giving power of the Holy Ghost, that souls may be converted unto him, and thy name glorified. We ask that thou remember our brother in reading to us this morning. Give him prayer, Lord, and may the word spoken before be a living word in our souls. We would not despise a red sermon, Lord. We have loved when it has been with power to our soul. Do come again with this message. We pray now, Lord, that we may be given a thankful heart for the provision of this school, that we may worship you for so many weeks we have been able to come. We thank you for all that has been done for us. Oh, we pray that we may enter again next week back to chapel with rejoicing, and that we have seen some crooked things made straight. May we meet them in true worship and adoration. Oh, do God, each soul that has come up this morning, a morning weeping song. Oh, that I knew where I might find them. Oh, grant, Lord, thy revelation this time as a Saviour and a great one, as we heard the other day. And now, Lord, we pray for each soul here, each one gathered, in all their circumstances. We pray that thou wilt remember the afflicted and the tried souls. Some among us have suffered a great loss during this week. We pray that thou wilt sanctify to them, that they will draw near, and that they may find there are greater riches than this earth can afford,
the sons of men. Oh, that we each might find those great riches in thyself. Salvation, heaven at last, through the dear Lamb's redeeming blood. And we pray for those, Lord, who are sick, that thou wilt put thy healing hand upon them, and that they may once more return to their wonted place among us. O Lord, do remember us again. Visit us with thy salvation. Leave not our souls destitute. O eternity is before us. O that we might be prepared by thee, that we might know our interest in the Saviour's blood and righteousness as our only hope in that great day when we must stand before thee. And may it not be said to any one of us, depart from me, I never knew thee. Lord, solemn form, Lord, prepare us for that day. May we hear thy voice and be. Now do pardon all we have asked of this. Hear the silent petitions of our friends gathered here. And Lord, blot out all our iniquities. And come and help us. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 557. 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. Hymn 557.
June 730. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in
To you a sermon preached by Mr. Humberstone. You will find the text in the chapter we read, Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. As the Lord enabled us a little this morning, we spoke of who this man is. He is the eternal Son of God, the second person in the glorious Trinity, who in the covenant of grace determined to save that number which the Father gave him before time was, out of the ruins of humanity, and to bless them with eternal salvation. They were placed safely in Christ, and he, in the fulfilment of his obligation, in love to the Father and his people, he took upon him the form of a servant and came into this world, taken into everlasting union with his divine person, humanity. Oh, what a wonderful mystery the incarnation of Christ is. There will be much ado, perhaps, this next week in the professing world, or even in the profane world, for it is the time of the year when this glorious person is even the song of the drunkard. Oh, how solemn! But oh, what a wonderful mercy it is if we have ever been brought to bless him for ever humbling himself and coming into this world in the mysterious way he did. In that holy pure humanity, separate from sinners. He did not partake of the fall of Adam in that nature. No, his was a miraculous conception of the Virgin by the overshadowing of God the Holy Ghost. A miraculous birth. Oh, how few really believe in it. How few rest their whole salvation, their soul for eternity, upon this wonderful mystery. But oh, it is a mercy if the Holy Ghost has taught us the absolute necessity for the incarnation of Christ, for his coming into this world. Oh, how necessary is that humanity. He was, we read in the Word, he was made of a woman, made under the law, that law that condemns you and I out of hand for our sins against it, our trespasses. Oh, it is an infinite mercy to be brought to an end of all our own righteousness and to be brought to an end of all hope in that law. It can only condemn us. He that is guilty in one point is guilty of all, and the very thought of foolishness is sin. How solemn is our case. Oh, the mercy of a 3-1 God, that they should ever enter into the covenant of grace, and that Christ should be given, sent into the world by the Father, out of love to this people, and that the Holy Ghost who deals with this people in this world as he alone can, he brings about within them a new birth. The mystery that Christ spoke of to Nicodemus when he said to him, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see, let alone enter into the kingdom of heaven." Well, it is the work of the Holy Ghost to do this in all the election of grace, and he will do it. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Not one of his people's names that are in the Lamb's Book of Life will pass through this life without the Holy Ghost teaching them that they are sinners and the need of this blessed man as an hiding place from the terrible wind of the wrath of an offended holy God. It is a mercy if he has taught us something of this in our hearts, according to the measure that he has given us faith. As we said, some he works very deeply and quickly in, forcibly. Some he deals with very gently. I know that some like to take the case of Lydia, the purple seller, as a case of perhaps a gentle beginning. I never really could look at it like that. You know, we are told that the Lord opened her heart. If the Lord ever opens your heart and mine, we shall see what is in it. And as the Lord opened to her heart, it is no wonder then that she listened to the preaching of Paul. She would see herself as a filthy, lost, wretched sinner. Why, literally, if you open a thing, you see what is inside it, do you not? And as her heart was opened, she would see what was in it, that she was a sinner. Well now, what a mercy it is if the Lord has mercifully done something like this in your case and mine. And he has given us to see something of this glorious man, Christ. That he came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. He came not to call righteous people. No, his greatest denunciations in all his ministry were against Pharisees, self-righteous Pharisees. But oh, his encouragement, the sweet gospel he proclaimed to those who were taught their lost condition and who were given to see something of his loveliness, his preciousness. Well now, what a mercy it is if you and I have anything, any beauty that has attracted us to this person. If his name has been made precious to us, have you ever sung that beautiful hymn in our book? How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. Have you ever sung it from your very heart, feeling the truth of it within? Ah, it is a mercy if we have. While he is to his people a hiding place from the wrath of God, that wrath that at the last day will blow away every refuge of humanity. There is a day coming when that great white throne will be set up. All nations shall be brought before that throne. Cremation will not make any difference, you know. Even the very sea will give up its dead. Death and hell will give up the dead that are in them, and every soul that has had a being will stand before that great white throne, and there will be judged of the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. Ah, but there will be two multitudes there. There will be a multitude on the right hand side, clothed in the righteousness of this blessed man, who came into this world to magnify and make honourable the law for his people in his work of salvation. And they will be clothed in his righteousness, without spot, without blemish. Oh, what a favour to have a hope that we shall be among that multitude. He will say to them, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world." But look on the other side. Oh, what a multitude will be there. That multitude will cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from him that sits upon that throne. As his eyes view them through and through, and every secret of their life is brought to light, oh, how solemn. What a mercy it is if the Holy Ghost has taught us, convinced us of our state, and brought us to this glorious man. It is his blessed work. Christ draws his people. God the Father draws them. Christ said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." The whole blessed Trinity draw the people of God to Christ. Ah, it is, I believe, the delight of the Holy Ghost to exalt this blessed man. He will fill all heaven at last to all eternity with praise and blessing for his finished work, which as they were brought to believe in it and hang upon it all their hopes, they will sing his praise throughout all eternity. Oh, what a mercy to have a hope that this man has been made our hiding place. But we must move on in the text, and a cover from the tempest. If you look at this word, really I did look some time ago in a dictionary to see what it meant, and there I was told it meant no such thing as a very permanent dwelling, but a covering that you might put up in a field for animals to shelter into, to run into in a storm. A cover from the tempest. Ah, you know there are all kinds of natures among God's people. We read of them, do we not, in that sheet that was let down to Peter in the Acts of the Apostles. In that sheet were all manner of animals, even to creeping things of the earth. And we read too in this same prophecy of different dispositions in men. We read of the lion eating straw with the ox. We read of those various different dispositions of men being brought down and humbled, and a little child shall lead them. And you know in the Church of God, oh, what different dispositions there are, what different dispositions, and if the Lord shows you and me what we are by nature, You will say like Asaph says in Psalm 73, I was as a beast before thee. No better. No, no. Or you sometimes feel yourself but a poor creeping worm, creeping in and out of the earth that cannot bear the light of the sun. You feel in your heart what a poor, sinful, weak thing you are. Well, now, these descriptions in the Word of God and this wonderful description here, a cover from the tempest, a covering, it really is in the tempest. And if you know anything of divine teaching, if the Lord has mercifully perhaps blessed you in times past, given you a hope in his mercy, favoured you with the revelation of Christ, and given you some assurance of an interest in his precious blood and righteousness, in a word, given you a hope that heaven will be yours at last, that your sins are put away by the sacrifice of himself, you will come into a world of tribulation sooner or later. Oh yes, we find in the Song of Solomon what blessed discoveries and what blessed communion there was there between the bride and the bridegroom. But oh, we also find too, and I have noted it is toward the end of the song, who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? And it seems as though now toward the end she's a poor decrepit creature, robbed of all her strength, and she leans heavily upon the arm of her bridegroom. Ah, that arm will never give way. No, no. Well, now she has passed through the wilderness. What is the wilderness literally? It is a place where there is nothing. Nothing to sustain human nature. No food, a dry desert, no water perhaps in it, briars, thorns in it, hurtful things, noxious weeds. Is it not a description of this world sometimes to the believer, especially if he is favoured in his soul with the love of Christ shed abroad in his heart? What is the world to him? It is a doomed world. It will go up in a blaze one day under the wrath of God. There is no continuing city in it for the real child of God who is exercised. No, and there is no rest in it really. And although I know in this day in which our lot is cast, in this welfare state that we are in, we are not tried in providence like our forefathers were. I can just remember a little of it, but it does not alter the word of God. And it is through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom. If you and I have not that tribulation in providence, if the Lord mercifully supplies all your needs in providence, be thankful for it. But you will still have tribulation, much tribulation. And it will be in here, in your own heart. Satan is ever on the watch to trip up your unwary feet and mine. And we have a little member in our mouth that no man can tame, and it will often bring you into a state of guilt, sin, and many, many things in your pathway will rouse up passions within you, many lusts and many evil things, iniquities you will discover in your heart. What did he bring Israel of old into the wilderness for and lead them there 40 years? It was to humble them, to prove them, to know what was in their heart, whether they would keep his commandments or no. And not only that, but it was to bring them to this, that man does not live on bread only, material things, but on every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall men live. This blessed word, especially as he makes it powerful in your soul. Oh, if he speaks to you in your tribulation, and you know as he brings you into trying things, perhaps affliction, or afflictive dispensations, many, many things that your flesh does not like, it is to humble you. But oh, instead of humbling me, it rouses up my rebellion, and it brings all manner of evil up in my heart. So it does. He will make you to know what is in your heart. If you did not go into the wilderness, if you did not have these trials, if you could have a smooth, nice, easy pathway without a trial in it, you would not know what was in your heart. I did not at one time, and you did not. No, but in these troubles, these trials, oh, this warfare within will bring up unbelief in your heart. You will learn that you have got infidelity in your heart. You will learn that you have got passions within you that rise up. Oh, and you never thought you were half as bad as you are. It is the wilderness that teaches, and the trials and troubles, the tribulation in the wilderness that will try you, and you will think in your mind, and the devil will tell you that all this is against you. You cannot be a child of God, he will say. And all these things working in your heart, how can you? But the mere professor and the worldling know nothing of this experience. It is to humble you before him, and he will not leave you in these things. No, no, no. Oh, the many promises, even in this blessed prophet Isaiah, the many sweet promises he has made to his people. He will bring them through the fires, through the floods and flames, through them, not leave them in them. No, no, no. And he will often be to them a cover in these tempests that will come upon them, storms that sometimes burst upon them that they never expected. Perhaps in their circumstances, in their pathway, but more especially perhaps within, and in these tempests they will need a covering, and they will be glad, like a poor beast in a field, to creep into this covert, a covert from the tempest. Do you know anything about these tempests? Do you know anything about them? Have you got such a smooth, nice pathway that you have not got a thing in it that causes you any trouble? Nothing like a tempest. Well, I tell you, examine your religion, if that is it. I would not give you much for it. No, no, the world tells us it is through much tribulation. Wherever all these instances in the Old Testament of how the Lord has dealt with his people, and you find it is through much tribulation. Oh, how Jacob was tried when they went to him, his hard sons, when they went to him with that blood-stained coat of many colours of Joseph's, and said, "Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." Oh, the hardness of their hearts. And he said to them, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him." And this was in spite of all Joseph's dreams that he had pondered over before. "Ah," he said, "all these things are against me. Ye shall bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave." But they never did. No, no. It all taught Jacob, and the Lord mercifully taught him in many ways, but he also taught him his preserving care over him. When his brother with murder in his heart determined to slay him, how the Lord mercifully, when he had sent the present over the brook and all that he had, then he went back over the brook alone, but not alone. No, no, there wrestled a man with him till the break of day. And that man, I have no doubt, was this man in the text. And oh, Jacob was given strength, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He halted upon his thigh after, and many of God's people have been made to halt on their thighs by the dealings of God with them. Humbled, they have not been able to run so fast as they could at one time, and they could not fly so high. Their wings have been clipped. Well, it is through this tribulation and the dealings of God with them that humbles them and brings them down before him to need his help from time to time. O, does not the bridegroom say to the spouse, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice. Sweet is thy countenance, and sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. What even in these pleadings with him for mercy in tribulation and trial and affliction. Yes, 'tis music in his blessed ears. It is his own work within teaching you what a poor, helpless, hell-deserving creature you are. I cannot preach a pleasant, easy pathway. It is not in the scriptures, and I have not had one and never expect one. My nature would like one, but no, God has not promised it. You will need this hiding place. You will need this cover from the tempest. But now we come to another side in this blessed promise. As rivers of water in a dry place. Notice the word is in the plural. Rivers of water. Not just a little stream. Not just one river. No, no. But all this in experience sets forth the mercy, the love of Christ, the love of God. John tells us in the Revelation, I saw a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. Ah, and do we not read in one of the Psalms, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. This is the love of God to man, flowing down from the throne of God, but it is in a dry place, rivers of water in a dry place. I tell you this, God never wastes his grace, nor his blessings. No, you will be brought into dry places. You will realize what a dry place in the wilderness is. I mean spiritually. And you will be made to realize what a dreadful barren he spiritually your heart is by nature. And it will bring you into these dry places, and sometimes in your trials you may come to the house of God, and there may be good sound preaching there, but you cannot feel anything. Oh, I do believe that God sometimes withholds these blessings from his people to bring them to cry more mightily to him for them. You know, even in nature, in business, when things are in short supply, as we term it, they become precious. The price goes up, and the shorter the supply, well, the more precious it becomes. I believe the Lord works in that way too with his exercised people. He will not let his blessings be cheap. No, no. If you are blessed with a stream from those rivers flowing into your soul, it will be because you need it. It will either be a foretaste to strengthen you beforehand of some trial or tribulation that awaits you in your pathway, or it will be after or during a trial. He will bless you. Rivers of water. We have not time to go into these rivers of water. Oh, it means all the blessed work of Christ, of every office he sustains. It means his high priesthood in heaven too, as in that blessed humanity at his final ascension into heaven. He went up, he took that humanity with him into heaven. He is there at the right hand of the Father in that humanity. His way was a way of tribulation. his way was much darker and rougher than mine. But why? And he was tempted, and with the wild beasts in the wilderness. Why? So that in heaven, in that sacred holy humanity, he can feel for his people in a human way. You cannot go to him with your trials, your tribulations. You cannot go to him with anything that is strange and unknown to him. No. Oh, in that holy priesthood, he knows all about your path. He knows all your troubles, all your trials, all your temptations. He has passed through them in humanity. What encouragement there is here, and this is one of the rivers, rivers of water, that flow into the dry places sometimes. Oh, when the Holy Ghost brings a little faith into exercise in your heart, when you feel everything is dried up, you feel parched, spiritually I mean, you wonder where the scene will end. You wonder if the Lord will ever deal with you in a way of love and mercy again. You feel yourself such a wretched sinner, and unbelief is there. The devil helps it on. But oh, how sweet when the Holy Ghost mercifully comes, unexpected perhaps, turns your eyes, the eyes of your faith within, to look at this blessed, glorious man as your great high priest in heaven before the throne of God. Ah, this is a river. This is a river that will assuage your thirst in a dry land. Ah, and you will feel by faith that he understands you better than you do yourself, that he has passed through temptations, he has been forsaken. You may feel forsaken, but you know nothing in comparison with the forsaken of his Father when he was upon Calvary's tree, when he cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was forsaken, that you may never be forsaken. No, you may feel sometimes forsaken, left to yourself, and Satan, the unwearied adversary, tormenting and trying you, but you will never be forsaken. No, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, and sure enough, a trickle at least from these rivers and streams in your dry place will revive your drooping soul. Look what a wonderful figure this is. You can imagine the traveller passing along through a dry place, a wilderness, a parched desert. He has no water left in his bottle, and he feels like fainting. But what does the Lord say? When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Jacob, will not forsake them. No, no, rivers in a dry place. But to know these rivers and experience them, we must know something of the dry place, you know. As I have said, the Lord does not pour down these things cheaply. No, no. It is his will that his people shall know something of these dry places, so that they shall value, long for a drop of living water. And is not Christ that living water? Is he not these rivers of water? This glorious man in the text, he shall not only be a hiding place, not only a covert, but as rivers of water flowing in this dry place. Have you ever experienced it? Have you ever come to chapel feeling dried up, wondering whether you would get anything at all, and knowing that you do not deserve anything, but yet perhaps to your surprise, has the gospel been made a sweet blessing to you? Has the person of Christ been made sweet? His name, his very person, precious to you, the chiefest among 10,000. The scene has altogether been changed. Its rivers, rivers in a dry place, with all the graces of the Spirit and all flowing through the wounds and blood of a dying Redeemer. Oh, what a mercy it is to feel these things in your heart. But I repeat it, you will be brought into those places where you will need it. Then we must pass on, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We do not understand these, as I pointed out at the outset this morning. The Bible is an Eastern book, and literally we cannot understand in this land of ours the full meaning of these figurative terms as they would in the East. The Bible is an Eastern book, but oh, it sets forth a traveller in the East, weary, absolutely weary. He looks round and all he can see is nothing but wilderness, sandy desert, and the sun at midday shining down upon him with burning heat. He looks around. All at once he sees a great rock standing up out of the sandy desert. This is the literal figure. And he hurries as fast as his poor strength will enable him to creep down and get in the shade of this rock. Do you know anything of it spiritually? Do you know anything of it in your heart's experience? Oh, have you ever felt this world to be a weary land? Have you ever felt your own wretched self to be nothing but a weary land within? And have you ever been brought under the shadow of this great rock? In the margin it says, heavy rock, I heavy with internal glory. This sets forth Christ, this rock of eternal ages. This rock, shall we say, upon which he builds his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The poor sinner who has been brought to seek for refuge to this blessed, glorious man feels something of this figure of speech, that he is the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You can just for a moment visualize the poor traveller. As you know, even in the past summer this year, the heat was so great sometimes we were glad to creep into the shade. But what must it be in these eastern counties, more intensified, and these vast tracts of desert, wilderness, no shade in them, no shelter. But oh, to come across this great rock, protruding as it were up out of the sandy desert. Oh, we can imagine the poor traveller hastening as fast as he could to creep down under the shadow, away from the rains of the burning sun. Have you ever felt the burning rays of persecution? I have. Have you ever felt the burning rays of Satan's attacks upon you? And have you ever felt the need of the shade of this blessed rock? Have you ever felt, oh, that I could creep to his blessed feet and feel his preciousness, be clothed in his righteousness, washed in his precious atoning blood? It would be heaven, rest, peace, refuge to my weary soul. Ah, there are not many people weary, are there? No, we are so worldly in this day, and we are so taken up with the things of time and sense. But I do believe the Lord has a few that he exercises really with these things. He deals with them, and he brings them into all the places mentioned here. They need this glorious man as an hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, and as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. They know something of these experiences. They are real experiences. You will never get to heaven without experience, my friends, never. It may not be very deep. It will be according to the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost. But if you pass through this life and you never enter into these things in your measure, it will be sad for you at the end. Dreadful, I must warn you. But oh, if you know something of these things by divine teaching in your heart and the need of them, and know the blessing of them, at times in your soul's experience, so that you have been enabled to bless and praise this glorious man. Ah, with a hope in your soul that one day you will be near him, like him in a glorious heaven, there to praise and bless him throughout a never-ending eternity. Oh, if you are favoured with this, how good it is. But I must close, the time is gone. May the Lord bless his word to us. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Graham Hadley will preach this evening, Sunday school at Bethany this afternoon. Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach on Tuesday evening in the chapel vestry at 7 o'clock, and Mr. Chapman will preach next Lord's Day in the chapel, if the Lord will. Let us close with hymn 756. 756. Exceeding precious is my Lord, his love divinely free, and his dear name does health afford to sickly souls like me. Hymn 756.
Exceeding precious is my Lord, his love divinely free, and his dear name health afford to sickly souls like me.
Dear kind and gracious God, we do pray thy blessing upon the service this morning. And Lord, do forgive anything amiss in thy sight. And oh, we pray, Lord, we may know at this season of the year, Lord, do grant that, a precious Jesus may be more and more precious to us. Oh, that he will be great, Lord. Oh, do grant, Lord, that closer walk. And Lord, as we may sing the hymns at this time of year, Lord, we pray that they may be made precious to us. And Lord, may we not just repeat them, Lord, but may there be something in them. Lord, maybe what we hadn't noticed before. Oh, we pray, Lord, do be with us at this season of the year. So do be with us now as we part. We pray they'll gather with the children this afternoon and grant that help in the Sunday school. Do come up with thy servant tonight, Lord. Do give him that message to bring. Give him strength. Help him at Stockfold through the day. Lord, we do pray that, this day may be a day to remember. As Lord, we trust it to be the last day here in the school, but Lord, we pray that there may be those blessed memories, Lord, of the services here. Lord, we thank thee for the facilities here. We thank thee for the use of them. We thank thee for the peace and quiet. Oh, and Lord, we pray that thou wilt gather us again in the chapel on the coming Sunday, if it is thy will. Oh, do help thy dear servant, Mr. Chapman, Lord. Give him a word to bring. May it be a day of rejoicing. So be with us now. Forgive our every sin. Remember those unable to be with us today. We especially remember thy servant who was expected. Lord, be with him.
And those, Lord,
in
congregation unwell today. Lord, we miss. Lord, do be with. Lord, help them, we pray. Do restore them again. That they may soon be able to return. Forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.